You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Well, first of all, I think there's a broader finding is that we've got a little bit of a health problem in this country and quite a few others, that there's a whole bunch of things that go wrong with us from eating too much sugar and poor quality food. So the science on that's pretty much sorted. The question is, what do you do with that science? Do you sit there and look at your published papers? Do you just tell people about it and they'll change their minds and eat less sugar? Well, we've tried both of those two things. Or do you actually go, geez, we actually have to do something more serious here, and that's what this paper is about. How we shift. In New Zealand, we spend about $17 billion a year on health, and that just to do the same thing the next year costs an extra billion, so it's growing pretty fast. When you get down to it, virtually none of that money is actually spent on health. It's actually spent on fixing up sick people. The question is, are we prepared to do something serious about keeping us healthy? And if we are, then our view is that the first thing you'd want to start to think about is what people ate, and especially how much sugar they eat.
As you kind of alluded to, we've seen kind of similar reports to this before.
Yeah.
Do you think that now is kind of the peak point and the government will probably will hopefully take notice?
It's not so much the government needs to take notice, but the people of New Zealand need to go, actually, we do care about the health of our kids. I mean, when you're getting, you know, four-year-olds getting half their teeth pulled out under general anaesthetic because they've got rotten teeth from the sugar, and that's not an uncommon thing. We're the parents and the adults in society, so, yeah, we should do something. And the government acts for us, the people, so yeah, it's up to I think it's time to do something. As you say, a lot of people have called for many of the things that we've called for before, but we think we've put together a pretty comprehensive suite of 8 actions that, you know, taken together would actually end up doing something. There's a lot of talk about doing this and doing that, and you bite off one of them half. Here's a full suite of things that actually would make a difference.
What are the main negative effects of sugar on New Zealand's health, or like what are the most visible effects that we've seen?
I think the most visible too are that it rots our teeth, especially for our kids, and the second most visible, it makes us fat. If you look at a class photo from a primary school in the mid-70s, it's the shape of the people in that, including the teachers, is profoundly different. So those are two most obvious, but the fact is cancers, heart disease and stroke, Alzheimer's and dementia, and diabetes, the 4 things that will cost each New Zealander about a dozen years off the quality of their life, are all diseases of sugar as well.
So do you think that the excess accessibility and these negative effects are not only a health issue but a socioeconomic issue in some
totally.
Cases?
So, yeah. The thing is, with sugar, it affects our poorest people the most. It's the great paradox of diseases of affluence. You know, too much food and especially too much sugar affect our poorest people the most. So, that's a massive issue. And you go, it's very easy for the food industry to go, oh, look, you know, people should just make the right choice, and if they exercise as well, you know, blah blah blah. The fact is, it's actually an environmental problem. It's a toxic environmental problem. We need to do something about it.
So do you think that something like a sugar tax would be beneficial?
Yep, I think a tax on its own for just sugar isn't going to be enough, though. That's part of it. And, you know, actually, this whole sugar tax has been controversial in New Zealand for years and bandied up and down. Look, we're actually late to the party now. Even the UK's got on board and done it. There's more than a dozen countries around the world, you know, most of them socially progressive, which we consider New Zealand to be, are way ahead of the game.
Do you think that if something like a sugar tax, though, would have negative effects on certain socioeconomic groups?
You run that risk, and that's why on its own it's not going to be the only thing to do.
So do you think it would be beneficial with being partnered with something like a removal of something like GST on like fresh fruit and other products?
I'd absolutely support that as a move. Absolutely. And there's a whole bunch of other ones we've got there as well, like getting rid of the loss leading on those sorts of products, because even with a price increase, supermarkets will still discount them down. So removing their ability to do that, just like we do with tobacco and alcohol, is crucial.
Do you think a reduction or removal of promotion for such items would also be beneficial, like, as you mentioned, the tobacco industry?
Yeah, so the thing to learn from smoking is that it's affordability, how much stuff costs, it's accessibility, can you actually get to the stuff, and it's acceptability, do people think it's okay to do it. Those three A's apply not just to smoking, and have been successful in smoking, by the way, but apply to sugar. So at the moment, everyone seems to be okay with the fact that our kids eat nearly 20 teaspoons of sugar a day, when the World Health Organization is closer to 5 teaspoons a day for their recommendations. So, yeah, we've got to work on price, we've got to work on accessibility and availability, and we've got to work on, you know, what society thinks is okay here. So, you know, unless you get all three of those things, good luck.
Do you think that New Zealand would face more corporate adversity to something like to these introductions than they have done for, like, removal of smoking advertising?
Yeah, I think people, it's very easy to look at smoking now and go, yeah, we've got those guys under control. But people forget that it took 50 years of corporate smoking advocacy to overcome. So, you know, it was in the early 50s that we knew conclusively that that smoking caused lung cancer and, you know, killed half the people that you gave it to. And it still took nearly 50 years to get that sorted. We should learn from that. And what we're seeing in the food industry now with the tactics that they're using of diffusing responsibility, creating confusion, setting up and paying off scientists and expert advisors, are exactly the same tactics that Big Tobacco used. And, you know, I think they just need to be called on it first. So let's just acknowledge that's happening and let's get into doing something about it. And we don't need to wait 50 years this time.
Do you think it's socially irresponsible for places like schools and tuck shops within schools to be supplying products that have known negative, adverse...
Nutritional value?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean... Yeah, the schools are an obvious environment to work hard on, but, you know, like, along with schools, I mean, you go to a hospital with actual sick people there, you know, why are there vending machines there? And I think a lot of DHBs have started to come on board with that, but, you know, also the quality of food we serve them. All of our public institutions, for schools, great place to start, I agree.
Do you think that something like the spending is for the food supply for tuck shops, etc., could be better invested in something like a fruit trees movement or something that supplies fresh food to schools?
Oh, there's I think the sky's the limit as far as imagination is concerned. I mean, there's a bunch of great examples, even in New Zealand, of some schools growing their own food and, you know, feeding not only their own school for lunches, but the community, doing their fundraising for that. And you know, there's a whole bunch of good ideas, exactly as you've said. What we do need a hand with is stopping some of the other ones. For example, selling, you know, junk food and confectionery in schools for fundraisers. It's one of the most profitable activities that industry engages in. Well, why would you invite the food industry in your school to help you with fundraising? It's not going to end well.
No. So we'll get to the... So you said you've got... Well, there's an 8-step plan that is summarised in the report. Could you please summarise each step for the listeners?
Sure. So step one is, I think, about changing the way we label food. So I think we think that the best evidence now is put something like teaspoons of sugars front of pack, and it's all sugars in that food. At the moment, either food labels which are on food are hard to understand, or worse, we've taken the industry's advice and gone for the star rating system, which when you've got things like up and go flavoured breakfast drinks, you know, as much sugar almost as Coke by volume, getting 4.5 stars, you know, that system doesn't work. So that's one. Let's get that labelling sorted. A complete ban on companies associated with sugar and junk food sponsoring sports. Now, people might think that's a bit extreme, but that's exactly where we've gone. You know, we don't have the Rothmans New Zealand cricket team anymore. Or even the Steinlager All Blacks, we've moved away from that. So I think the same applies there. Sugar is not a performance-enhancing substance. It, you know, athletes don't eat that all day, every day. Let's get rid of that. a ban on loss leading in supermarkets and island discounting with sugar and junk foods. No-brainer, that's what we do with alcohol and tobacco already. Number four, sugary drinks taxes. We should have some, and we should extend them for all junk foods. You know, just sugary drinks on their own is not going to be enough. This is a product that causes harm and harm to our kids, and we can use the money that we raise from that to health support, actually promoting health rather than just fixing sickness. A complete ban on sugary drinks, advertising on television and internet demand services, you know, like we do with alcohol and tobacco. There's no need for that. This is not so relevant in New Zealand, but certainly worldwide, that government food subsidies for sugar, that's definitely an issue worldwide. Why are we subsidising sugar when we don't subsidise actual healthy food? Policy should prevent all dietetic organisations from accepting money from food companies, and this is a massive problem both in New Zealand and overseas. So a lot of our health-related organisations rely on money from the food industry and the pharmaceutical industry to operate. It gives them a conflict of interest and a degree of credibility that's not sustainable. The government needs to step in and provide funding to people like Diabetes New Zealand, the Heart Foundation, and the New Zealand Dietitians Association. And lastly, I think this is an important one, we need to split healthy eating and exercise off into two separate categories. The food industry likes to have those competing against each other. Oh, you know, it's all about energy in and energy out. If you just exercise more, you wouldn't be so fat. Actually, nutritional related diseases need nutritional solutions. Exercise is good for you, independent of a whole bunch of things. Let's just talk about those things as separate, important, healthy behaviours. So that's the eight.
From what I've kind of interpreted from what you're saying is there also seems to be a barrier, like a social or psychological barrier. Let's say I've been, like, these methods and ideas have been around since I was in primary, like with the whole Harold the Giraffe kind of thing. Do you think, why do you think New Zealanders haven't learnt from this?
Because we're treating it as a problem with the individual's choice when it's actually an environmental and availability and accessibility problem. It's like going, smoking's going to kill you, it gives you lung cancer, and somehow that should be enough. It wasn't. It never was going to be. And same with alcohol. The same reason we legislate for people to wear seatbelts, just telling them about it won't be good enough. And, you know, people actually would prefer a long, healthy life, and they'd prefer their kids to grow up. Look, the fact is, just on a personal note, I've got three kids. I'm pretty well informed about nutrition. I try very hard. My youngest son, when he was five, still had to get a general anaesthetic to fix fillings in his teeth from the sugar that rotted his teeth. You know, I could be a slightly better parent, I admit that, but I'm certainly not the worst. This is an environmental problem, not a if only we knew better problem. It's everywhere.
Do you think the argument that it restricts personal freedoms is valid in any way?
That's the argument with any law, and, you know, on that logic, you wouldn't have people wearing helmets on motorcycles, wearing seatbelts. You wouldn't need a police force because people would be restricted. So at some point, we go, you know what, some stuff, the harms outweigh the benefits, and we should do something about it. The science is well and truly there with sugar. It's just a matter of when the public and the government are prepared to catch that up. My preference is now, not 50 years.
What do you reckon the, like, maximum time period could be before, like, we reach kind of like a crisis, like a more of a crisis point, if we could actually reach more of a crisis point?
Well, I mean, you only have to look into the future. Actually, it's quite easy. You can just look to some other countries that are eating more sugar than us in the US and that those sorts of places, and it's hard to know when that's going to stop. Yep, I think if we do nothing, we've probably got two or three decades of getting much worse, and there'll be untold harm done there, and it'll cost billions. The thing is with that, also, you forget, you go, oh, well, we're just spending more on in the health system because of this. Well, there's only a limited amount of money, so you're not spending it on something else like the environment, education, having a good time. you know, so none of these things are commensurate with having a good time. So, yeah, there's a cost to all of it.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.